And like I say, a few weeks back, last week we talked about grace and peace. And he talked about the gospel being perverted. And then he comes down in verse 9. He said, if any man preach any other gospel than you do, than ye have received, let him be accursed. And then we get down to verse 11. And he says, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Okay, so, and my thoughts the last few weeks is everything circles back to the gospel. Everything circles back to the gospel. Your lost condition will circle back to the gospel. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it will not be on God's account that you went to hell. It'd be on yours for rejecting the plan of salvation and redemption that God has put forth. And even if you like are sitting in your pew and you're like, you know, I really don't care, you will care that day. I mean, and don't try this on me, please. I do not like to be held to where I can't do something. I don't like to be, and one of the reasons is I used to, my dad would wrestle us, and my dad's 6'6". And I know y'all still can't believe this, but I was a scrawny little kid. And he would lay on us. Wouldn't get us in a hole, just roll over and just lay on us and just, and it would drive me bananas. So that, and I don't have a phobia of it, Tim, but as I got a little bit stronger, I learned how to get out of it. And sometimes somebody gets hurt. Just saying. If you come up and grab me, don't expect me to just sit there and take it. I may take my fingernails and scratch your face or whatever. I'm getting out. So don't, please, don't try that. My point is there are things in our life that we go through that set us up in our Christian life. Okay? Now, Paul here has gotten saved. He's given us a biography, if you will. Now, I've got to this morning go elsewhere out of the book of Galatians, but I want to set you up with this account that he says here in verse 12. I want y'all stand now. Now would be a good time to stand. Verse 12, Paul says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of tradition of my fathers, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went, get this is going to be key to our message, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles save I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and it was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorify God in me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray today there'll be decisions made for people in this auditorium and that will hear this message, to just strike up a desire to know the things about God that they had to hunt for, they had to seek after, they got to want. Lord, I pray that we would have a desire and a hunger for you like we've never had before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So, we'll start this real easy. I talked about that piece of paper with it says my sins. If you're saved here today, you could say amen if you wanted to. Okay, we got two saved. Anyway, I'm just kidding about that. So I read verses 12 through 14 just to remind you that Paul's talking about a revelation. He's not talking about memorizing verses. He's not talking about a prayer meeting. He's not talking about a revival meeting. He's not talking about being around the apostles. He goes out of his way to say, hey, when I got saved, I didn't go around nobody else. See, salvation is between you and God. I have said in the service at least two or three times to where I've heard preachers, pastors almost lead somebody into easy believism, salvation verse. You can't say any group of words and get saved. It has to be Holy Spirit driven. It has to be from your heart. As much as I'd like for anybody in this building that's lost to get saved, as much as I would like anybody to rededicate their life, which I don't know your heart, I can't do it for you. And if I could do it for you, it wouldn't be worth you having it anyway. I can say amen to that myself. But what I'm saying, we're here in this body, and God has told your pastor this morning, Paul says, that when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he's saying there was a day that I got saved. Now turn over with me to the book of Acts. I got to keep moving or I get in trouble in time. So if y'all want me to get done, y'all keep up with me, okay? Verse number 1 in chapter 9 of Acts. I should have drank an energy drink or something this morning. And Saul bringing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Now, Saul is the same Paul that's writing in Galatians. Everybody good with that? Wave your hands. Oh, glory, hallelujah. All right, here we go. And he goes on. Disciples of the Lord and went unto the high priest, verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus of the synagogue, that he, if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light round about him, a light from heaven. So here we see Saul, Paul, going in the totally opposite direction as serving the Lord. He's actually trying to destroy the church, and he gives that account earlier in the book of Galatians, but I wanted to give you his day of salvation. There was a day that he was walking against God and all of a sudden he confronted Jesus Christ. If you're not serving God, okay, you're not going to meet the devil in your path because you're heading in the direction he wants you to go. He's either going to be waving you on or he's going to stay out of your way. You get my drift. But I guarantee you that if you are saved, I guarantee this is a 1,000 degree percentage guarantee. If you're a child of God and you're headed the wrong way, you're going to confront Jesus along the way. He's going to stop and say, hey, I want you to turn around. He's going to stop. He's going to make you feel guilty of the service that you're not doing. He's going to do it. How do I know that? I've experienced that myself. And this is a 1,000 degree or percentage guarantee. If you're not serving God the way the Scriptures say, the Holy Spirit say, you're going to have contention with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that you're automatically going to turn around, but Paul's headed that way and he sees this light in verse 4. The voice is Jesus Christ. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul says, verse 5, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. They took a stick and poked the cattle. He said, Paul, I've been convicting you of your wrong. It's hard for you to keep heading the wrong direction, but here I am. I'm sharing the light of the gospel to you. See, John chapter 1 tells us that the light in him was life, and it shined light unto all men. I think that's chapter 1, verse 3 or 4, somewhere like that. But remember, that light's always going to be there. But also remember that what it says in John 1, chapter 5, or chapter 1, verse 5, it says, the light shineth upon men, but the light comprehendeth it not. You can shine the light on the mice or the rats that are in the basement, but they will only scurry away from the light. Does that make sense? Paul gets down here and he says, verse 6, this is his conversion. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jesus says, hey, look, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Go back over to Galatians. He says in verse 16, still talking about the day of his salvation, he says, to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. If God is calling you into something, there may be people that can help you learn how to do it. But this is where my message is going to turn for you today. If God's going to get you to do something, you're going to have to learn it between you and Him. Okay? You could be sitting in a church service and say, you know what, Brother Rick, you're telling me right here that I'm not going to learn it around men. No, you're not. You say, well, you're a man. You're preaching the Bible. Hey, if you're learning it from me, you're wasting your time. You say, well, why are you preaching? I'm preaching the Bible. I'm preaching God's Word. I'm proclaiming Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that here in just a minute, okay? But I got to get you in your mind. Paul said, greatest Christian that I know of besides Jesus Christ in the New Testament, greatest Christian. He said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. In other words, he didn't check with men. He maybe could have went to talk to John, the writer of the book of John, the book of Revelation. He could have maybe went and talked to Peter, who was the spokesperson for the church in Jerusalem. He may have could have done that, but Paul says, no, I didn't confer with them. I didn't go to them. Let's find out where he went. And we'll just take just a minute for this. He says in verse 17, and this is the part I tried to make some sense of, neither went I up to Jerusalem. So he didn't go to the epicenter of Christianity, which is where that was, what Jerusalem was at that time, to them which were apostles before me. In other words, I didn't go to that 12 groups of apostles. I didn't go find the greatest preachers of that day. Where did he go? He says, but I went into Arabia. Now this, granted, Brother Bill, is kind of a mystery. Because after it says he went into Arabia, it says in verse 18, then after 3 years. Now I've got a timetable that I look at, and I'll show it tonight. If you're here, I'll have it up on the screen. I maybe make copies, but I didn't want to get that involved here this morning. Before Paul went on his first missionary journey, anybody want to guess how many years it was between his conversion and him leaving on his first missionary journey? Anybody want to take a venture of guess? How many think it was in the first 5 years? Raise your hand. How many think it was in the second 5 years? Raise your hand. How many of y'all ain't going to vote? Raise your hand. Chickens. How many of y'all think it was in the third 5 years? We got some people where they've studied their Bible a little bit. It was almost 15 years, Tim. And reading the book of Acts, you don't get that. You think that Paul got saved, started preaching, and boom, he's out there on the trail. But there's some things that Paul had to learn, and that's what I'm trying to turn my message to this morning. He went into Arabia for 3 years. I don't know whether he spent all that time out in the desert by himself. I don't know. But if you back up and look at verse 12, that's why we read this verse here this morning. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday, but I want to go into a little bit more detail this morning. The way that you and I are going to learn about Jesus Christ. Do you want to learn about Jesus Christ here this morning? It's not intellectual knowledge that you're going to grab. I mean, usually we go to school, okay? We gather information, we learn that. About a job, when I went to work at UPS, I lived in Lancaster all my life, and they said, you know what? After you get in with us, we're going to unload trucks for so long, we're going to put you on the routes that go through Lancaster. Norm, I lived in Lancaster all my life. Drove around there, but I didn't know the names of the streets. And my driver that I was loading for figured that out. And he said, Ricky, you don't know where nothing is in Lancaster. I mean, I'm supposed to stack it in order for him. And Rodney Lakes would come in there and go, why'd you put this up here? This goes over here with this. See, there has to be an internal knowledge. Now, who this morning would like to get closer to the Lord? I'm going to give you something this morning, and it's a surefire method of doing that, but I can't write it to you on a piece of paper. I can't give you a couple of scriptures that'll tell you, but I can give you an idea or a thought process that may help you. See, Paul didn't learn it from men. He didn't learn it from the Bible. Get this, Paul probably already had the first five books of the Bible memorized. You would think that if he was going to be a Christian, be a missionary, all he needed was salvation and that first five books and that information, and boom, he's out there. No. He needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, yeah, that's what you're talking about. Hold up. Don't give up on me yet. Don't give up on me yet. Look over in chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself what? For me. How many of y'all think you've experienced the fullness, the most fullest impact of God's love in your life, and you've already experienced it to the highest, and there's no other plane to reach? How many of y'all think you've gotten there already? You haven't, have you? Every time I think I've gotten to a level that's good in my Christian life, God says I can take you up higher. But to do that, a lot of times God has to lower me. And I find out that the Bible is true. Now, that's knowledge from the Scriptures, but I'm here to tell you, Paul figured out that he had been crucified with Christ. In other words, he had almost went to the cross with him. And I've told you the story about the man that went and saw this great painting, this great big painting of Jesus hanging on the cross, and he's standing afar off, and he said, I just don't see where the beauty is. Janter come along and he goes, what's the matter? He said, well, they told me there was something special about this picture. And he said, you're not moving close enough. So he moved a little bit closer, Brother Bill. Janter goes on about his business and he just keeps looking. And he says, I just don't see it. Janter comes back along. He said, what's the matter? He said, I still just don't see it. He said, you ain't close enough. He gets closer and he's looking at this scripture or this picture of Jesus on the cross. Janter comes back through a little bit later on. He said, I just still don't see it. He said, you ain't low enough yet. He got on his knees and he looked up and he seen it. What did he see? He saw something I haven't looked at yet. He said, wait a minute. Why'd you tell that story, Brother Rick? Every person in here is going to have their own special story. Their own special relationship. Their own testimony. But you're not going to get it if you're sitting on the sidelines. You're not going to get it if you're not yearning for it. You're not going to get it if you don't desire it. See, it's more than just reading the Bible and praying and going to church. It's more than really faith. It's about really reaching out to a God that's all-powerful, all-knowing, and His Son that loves you beyond degree, give His life for you. You can't get that in a book. You cannot get that in a book. People think that, you know, I'm not the guys and gals that was in their Sunday school class. I'm not making fun of you, okay? But most of them go to Sunday school, and they go and they sit down in that chair and they're like, and the teacher, whoever it is, says, you all got your Bible? Where's your Sunday school book at? And they'll get it and they'll turn to the lesson. I got my lesson. Turn open up in your Bible. Okay. And we read the Bible and they're like, okay, I guess we're going to pray or something now. And they pray. The reason why you didn't get nothing out of the Sunday school class, and it doesn't matter, you didn't have to be sitting in the high school class, maybe you weren't searching for it. Maybe you weren't wanting it. Rick, I still don't get what you're talking about. I know. I spent all week trying to figure out what I was thinking about. See, Paul is giving a biography about his, or chronicling his work. And he says up there in verses 11 and 12 that he's given this revelation, and he gives his salvation there in 15 and 16, and then he gives that time frame. And all I can think of is, what did Paul learn? Well, I'm going to give you some scripture. First thing, and you don't have to turn here, okay? But in chapter 11, and there are so many verses that I could give you that would speak to this. Jesus says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How many of y'all learn to ride a bike by looking at it? Anybody? We got any fast, like, looking learners? How many of y'all have ever looked at something, said, you know what, that's easy. See somebody else doing it and said, that's easy, I can do that. How many of y'all said that? And then went and tried it and went, oh, not that easy. I was training a boy at UPS one day, and to unload a UPS trailer, you have to be fast. You have to be strong, but you got to take care of the packages. Can't throw the packages. So if you pick up a 70-pound package, just because you picked it up off top of something, you can't let it just go boom. So I had a young man, I was a supervisor, and I always unloaded like the first two layers. I told him, I said, son, this is really hard work. It's, you know, heavy. We got to do, you know, going through all the spiel. Wasn't my first trainee. I'd done trained a bunch of them. I said, now look, you'll start off in this trailer. In a few weeks or a couple of months, you'll get to go out here and do an easier job. But you got to do this harder job first. Okay? So I started, and he was one of those kids, Miss Judy, he's like, I can do this. I got this. In other words, you know, move out of the way. I said, I'm going to show you for just a minute. You just watch me do it. I can do it. I can do it. I said, you just watch me. I unloaded about five boxes. He said, really, I can do it. I said, this guy's ready to roll. I said, you need to watch me for just like 10 minutes. Now, I got this. I said, well, fine. Step back, and here he was. I said, you're not going fast enough. Still not going fast enough. Finally, he just attempted to start throwing. I was like, whoa, can't throw him. I thought you said you could do this. And he went, well, maybe it's harder than I thought. I said, maybe you should have watched me a little bit longer to kind of catch a few, you know, tricks to the trade. In your Christian life, You see people looking like they're all spiritual, but there's no real stuff there. And then you see somebody that comes along that seems like they're there. They didn't get there by themselves. They learned of Jesus. And how do you learn Jesus? Well, Rick, you just read the Bible. No. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and trust me, I'm just going to read these verses. I'm going to have to move on because I can see I'm in trouble on time. But young person, Christian that's struggling, Christian, I don't care who you are, you listen to just what I'm going to give you verse-wise. This is Paul. This is me thinking, what did Paul learn? He says, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." This is it. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." How many of us, we want to learn stuff about Daniel, we want to learn stuff about all these other things. What if we just learn about Jesus and Him crucified? He goes on to say, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling in my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Can you get the power of God out of the Word of God? You can, but can you just pull it off of the pages? It's got to be ascertained somehow. It's got to be gathered up some way. Paul says, "I want to know Him." He says there in verse number 2, "I determined not to know anything." It set me on that journey in Philippians chapter 3. I could have spent a lot more time there in that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but in Philippians chapter 3, still I'm thinking, what did Paul learn? Well, he gives another autobiography of his past in verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." Okay, he was a religious guy. Look what he says in verse 6, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless." He's given his past. Look what he says. He said, "But what things were gained to me were counted lost for Christ." I wished I could say you could get rich as a Christian. And you can if you follow the money stuff, but maybe God won't prosper you in money. Maybe God will get you to make a lot of money and He'll ask you to give it all away. Now for those out there that are tight, you're already going, "Nuh-uh." Well, you're not going to grow very much in your finances. That don't suit too good. In your time that you had, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, I counted for loss." In other words, he had prestige, he had honor, he had people looking up to him, Brandy. But he said, "What things I had there that were gained, I count them for loss now." What would be the best thing to happen to every teenager and adult that say they're saved here at Bradley's Pleasure this morning? For us to humble ourselves as low as we possibly could. Well, that sounds good, don't it? Rick, where do you want me to humble myself at? You want me to serve somebody? No, humble yourself before God. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. If there's ever the contention in your life or something in, that you're going through, there's pride in there. And if you're saying it's always on somebody else, be careful. It's a pretty good sign that pride's already in the house. Plus, you can't worry about their pride anyway, Tim. The only pride that you can control is your own. The only pride I can control is my own. He goes on to say in verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now remember, Paul's going around, he's putting Christians in jail, and now he's the hunted. He was the hunter, now he's the hunted. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Now we're getting down to what he's learning. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now this is my verse right here. Verse 1 I've centered on this week. This is it. Paul says that I may know him. He doesn't say, I want to know the Bible. I want to know him. How well do we know Jesus Christ? Well, he's a guy in the Bible that died. How well do you know him? Well, I put my faith and trust in him. How well do we know him? How much more can we get to know him? An infinite God will never be fully understood by man. That's why man can spend all his time discovering who God is. Do you hear me? You spend all your time discovering who God is. I would guarantee you that I can learn more about my sermons by sitting on a pop case in a garage than I can sitting at my desk studying the scriptures. Y'all don't know much about my house, but I got a little pop case that I sit on in my garage. I can learn more about preaching about the gospel, sitting on that pop case, keeping a can, sitting in there reading them scriptures. Why? Because God's deeper than scriptures. He's deeper than our prayers. And I don't know whether this is intrinsic. I may get my words all messed up. I always try to use big words. It don't work. But there is a thing that is unseen about Christianity that's got to just be wanted. It's just got to be wanted. And I don't think enough Christians want it. I don't think there's enough of us that would just like drop everything. Drop everything. Everything. Paul gets saved. He drops everything. He drops who he is, what he is, what he had, his belongings. Steve Meese described it like this. You know how we used to, and I'm sure you all as kids, they do crazier stuff, but you know how you could ride a bike and you get your friend to sit on the handlebars? How many of y'all done that? I mean, you've seen somebody do that. They put their feet there on the side of them little spokes and you ride them. Here's the thing. Let God be the one that has the handlebars and you get up there on that handlebar. See, we want to keep control of our life. God doesn't want to spiral us out of control. I get that. But there's some stuff about God that I can't tell you in this message. Look at what Paul says. He says that I may know him and get this, the power of his resurrection. Do we realize how much power there is in the resurrection? We go to funerals all the time with a dead person laying in a casket, dead. God has power to bring that person back to you know, you're talking about spiritual life. I don't know about y'all, but I'm spending eternity in heaven in a body like this. If you don't believe that, you may not have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because when he come up out of that grave on the third day, he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And you know what? I may not look like it now, but one of these days I'm going to look like him in my own appearance. I'm going to be like him. And he also says, Paul does, he doesn't say only the power. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Then he says the fellowship of his suffering and being conformable unto his death. So I'm going to stop right here this morning. And what I'm about to say this morning, don't shut your Bibles up yet, because I know you're going to start zipping me up and closing me off. Don't do that. Because I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. That's part of what's wrong with Christianity today. Preachers included. We want to be done by 12 o'clock so that we can get up and walk through that door and put the church behind us. And by going and walking out that door, you're not putting the church behind you. You're putting Jesus behind you. Because when we come to this place, if we ain't getting to know Jesus better, we're not gaining hardly anything. We need to desire to know and to yearn for Jesus greater and greater each and every day. But you got to reach for something that's not there. It's there, but you're going to have to reach in faith. It's your choice this morning. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Some may say I preached about nothing today. I say I preached about a Savior that wants us to know him so much better than we do. I just pray for all of us, Lord, that have been spoken to this morning by the Word, and by the Son, by the Spirit, that we would come and seek what you want to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.